Milton was in Hong Kong saying this is where you have to go to see capitalism in action. Now what has happened is perhaps not that China took over Hong Kong, but more like Hong Kong took over China.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and today we're happy to be talking with Johan Norberg, the Swedish-based author of most recently Financial Fiasco, and also the host of the great new documentary Free or Equal. Johan, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Free or Equal traces or retraces the route that Milton and Rose Friedman took in Free to Choose, the path-breaking documentary from decades ago. What did you find as you went around the world looking at some of the places where the Friedmans had been years ago?
Well, it's really a mixed record in a way, because during these 30 years, the first thing that has really happened is that so many places have picked up, become influenced by those ideas, and started implementing them. We can go to places like Estonia, where we really had a prime minister who read the book version of Free to Choose, or to China. Milton was in Hong Kong saying, this is where you have to go to see capitalism in action. Now what has happened is perhaps not that China took over Hong Kong, but more like Hong Kong took over China. It's really a dramatic revolution.
The single biggest global change was the collapse of communism, which had a massive effect, certainly in places like Estonia and China. Where are the places that are lagging behind, that are actually, that might be in worse shape than they were 35 years ago?
Well, obviously we can see that we have that problem in Africa. Worldwide, we've seen an incredible poverty reduction almost everywhere. 140,000 people are lifted out of extreme poverty every day. And yet, it continues to grow in some places where they don't have the basic institutions of rule of law and trade and so on. But also some parts of the former communist empire, we can see a backlash in Russia where we've seen not free market capitalism, but rather some sort of state-directed, state-crony capitalism instead.
What about in the OECD countries or the developed world? Interestingly, over the past 20 years or so, we've had the Japanese lost decade. We seem to be well into an American lost decade. Throughout the 90s, a lot of European countries, Western European countries, cut government spending as a percentage of the economy. But now that we've been in a number of years of financial crisis, are kind of laissez-faire or free markets on the march, or are they in retreat in the places that once benefited from
it? Yeah, it is a mixed record, because the basic story, I think, is a great success, a revolution in personal freedom and free markets around the world. And yet, what is really stunning when you look at the original Free to Choose documentaries and the kind of ideas that the Friedmans visited, you can see that so many of those battles have to be fought again and again, and specifically after the financial crisis. You can see all those things with bailouts of private companies, government takeover of industries, healthcare and so on, stimulus packages, massive debt and so on. And that's what makes you a little bit depressed when you see this, because they could see things so clearly and how this would ruin things. And somehow we thought we'd won those debates, but they always come back.
A big part of kind of Friedman's thought and in Free to Choose is the idea that economic freedom leads to political freedom. Did you see things that kind of bear that out, or does that thesis get complicated, or did you find that it's really just not operative?
I think that history has shown that there's a lot to that idea, definitely. We've seen that in Latin America, we've seen that in East Asia. As people grow richer, as they become more used to personal freedoms of different sorts, they also demand a stake in the political sphere as well. But we also see exceptions, and China is the big exception. Singapore is another exception, where it's still been possible for a small, tiny elite to sort of give people the material goods, and in exchange, people keep quiet. But at the same time, it's too soon to tell, because you can really see that something dramatic is taking place beneath that surface.
In the United States, and you write a lot about Europe and about the United States, the book about the financial crisis in the U.S. and the roots of it. Europe, in the U.S. press, we talk a lot about the austerity measures that are being imposed in Europe, whereas the U.S. seems to be going on a major Keynesian bender. Are austerity measures actually taking place in Europe, and if so, are they helping or are they hurting the kind of restart of the economy?
Yeah, austerity measures are taking place, and that's not really because that debate has been won by those who love austerity. It's because we're out of money in so many places. So that's the only thing you can do. If the markets don't dare to lend you more money, you have to do something about it. And it's really quite dramatic and it's quite radical. Some places took the lead. Some places that were more influenced by the Friedmans, like Estonia and Latvia, they had a GDP drop of 15-20%. And radical austerity. And that austerity in the short run, it also led to less consumption and probably reinforced this drop in GDP. On the other hand, they're back much quicker. They can see a new growth rates this year and now private jobs are coming back. So it seems like there's something. When the government keeps spending, it also crowds out all the private investments. And you know that if the government builds up all these debts, sooner or later, you are going to have to pay for this. So then you become a bit concerned. You don't want to hire. You don't want to consume. So it seems like austerity can be a way forward as well.
Well, I want to thank Johan Norberg, the host of the great new documentary Free or Equal, which is going to be available on PBS throughout America. And it'll be showing up in all sorts of places. Johan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.